Heavenly Father, we thank you. We welcome you. We welcome your presence. We take this time seriously when you are sharing your word with us. And so, Father, my prayer is that for every person in the room, not only moms, but that every person in this room, every person who hears this message, would receive what you sent them to hear on this day. And so, Father, I ask that you would draw us closer to you through your word, that you would mold and shape our hearts through your word. Speak to us according to your will and order our steps, God. Father, we give you this time. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So I came across a couple of Mother's Day cards written by kids to moms. And you know, kids say some of the funniest things. So this one kid says this: thank you, Mom, for being wonderful and not making meatloaf anymore. Thank you for not doing that. Thank you, Mom. There's another kid. He says this. He says, in the animal kingdom, moms are the one thing you just can't beat. And he signs it, Love, Hunter. Hunter, animal kingdom. How many moms sometimes feel like you are the prey of your child? Like they are after you. They are, I mean, sometimes my wife is like, can I just go to the bathroom without somebody outside the door? It's like they're hunting you down. Another kid says this. He says, thank you, Mom, for making me food so I don't die. Kids are hilarious. So, Mom, this message today is for you. My title is this: Seven Things Mom Needs. Seven things Mom needs. Mom needs some things. So I want kids, I want you to dial in. I got one kid here on the front row. Don't sleep because you need to dial in. Other kids, stay awake. Dads, stay awake. You may want to take some pictures off some of the stuff that we put on the screen because we want to help Mom. Can somebody say amen? Amen. All right. So everyone can do some things to help Mom. First of all, I want to open with a passage of scripture from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. So the Apostle Paul is quoting from the Ten Commandments, and he is speaking to people about God's way of honoring parents, that God values parenthood. And he, in fact, even attaches a blessing to honoring parents. He says, this is the first commandment that has a blessing with it. When you honor your mother, the Lord says, I'll bless you with long life. I'll bless you when you honor your parents. Now, I want to give you these seven things that moms need. Are you ready? Number one, moms need appreciation. Come on. Moms need appreciation. I mean, of course, everybody wants appreciation, but I think moms probably need it more than anybody else. They need appreciation. And in the Bible, you'll see different passages that elicit the idea of giving thanks for people. Philippians chapter 1 is one of those scriptures. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you. That's a good thing to do when you think about mom. It's to thank God every time you remember her. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. You know, you oftentimes hear these stories about, I had a praying grandmother, or I had a praying mom. But you know what I think we should do? I think we should be praying for mom. We should be praying for mom. We should be thinking about mom in our prayers. We shouldn't just let mom be the one who's always lifting everybody up, who's always taking care of everybody, who's always going on her knees for everybody else. How about we go on our knees for mom? Amen. Moms will appreciate it. It's a way to honor. Now, what if you say, well, what if your mom has passed away, which is a reality for many of us who are in the room? What if mom has passed away? You can still appreciate her. How? Because you can honor her memory with a good life. You can honor her memory by remembering those messages that she gave you, the way that she encouraged you, the way that she spoke into your life. You can honor her memory in that way. Look back on her positive qualities and her perseverance even in the difficult times. Now, let me address this elephant in the room. What if you had a difficult relationship with your mom? See, the one thing about that passage is that the Lord doesn't say to us, honor the moms who are honorable. No, he's saying honor them. Why? Because the honor has to do with our relationship with him. See, honor her for my sake is what God is saying. Honor her because of who I am. And you know something else that you can do? Be thankful that the Lord used her to bring you into the world. Be thankful that the Lord used her to give you the opportunity to be in relationship with him right now. The Lord used her to get you here. You can honor that. And when we honor mom, God honors us. All right, so I want to continue this vein of appreciation. Is that okay? Can I keep appreciating mom? I really want to keep appreciating mom. And there's a special mom in the room that I want to appreciate right now. And her name is Danae Libby. See, she didn't know she was getting set up like this today. But I want to honor her. First of all, she's a single mom who is raising her precious daughter, Maya. But here's the thing that I really love about her. Not only does she raise Maya, but she also drags Maya's friends to church. Why? Because she's also looking at these other young women saying, hey, I want you to have positive in your life. I want you to have an encounter with God. So I want to celebrate you, my sister, for being so faithful to your daughter and faithful to the other young women that God is sending across your path. We honor you as a single mom. All right. So we're not done. I want to keep this honor train going. All right. How many other single moms do we have in the room? If you're a single mom, stand up. Stand up. Single moms. Come on, single moms. Come on, let's give it up for the single moms. Yes. We appreciate you. We appreciate what you do. We appreciate you staying with us. Mom, stand on your feet. Come on. I'm going to have all the moms standing in just a minute. All right, here's another category of moms. How many mothers have hit the golden anniversary of motherhood? You have been a mother for 50 years or more. How many? How many moms? I knew my mom was going to stand up. There we go. Come on, let's give it up for the golden anniversary moms. Yes. Now, there's another category of women I want to recognize. Keep standing. Is there a mother in here who has a husband that is deployed in the military and is away? Is there a mom in here? None? Wow, only had one last time either. Okay, all right. Now, the rest of your moms stand. Now, come on. Let's give it up for the mothers. We love you. You are underappreciated, undervalued, under-celebrated, but we thank you We thank you. We thank you. Now, to every mom, we have a gift for every mom today. First of all, we got a cute little tote bag. Can I say that cute? We got a tote bag for you. And every mom is going to get a free car wash. We got a certificate for a free car wash for every mom. We love you and we appreciate you greatly. All right. Make sure you sign up for your free car wash. We're going to get that to you and make sure you go by our tables to pick up your totes. Now, before I go, can I just keep the appreciation train going just one more time? Just one more time. We got a very special mom in our Atlanta campus that I really want to celebrate. And her name is Sharonda Watson. Let's get Sharonda's picture up there. Sharonda is currently deployed to Afghanistan. And so her family was in the first worship experience, but Sharonda is a chaplain in the United States Army. And every Sunday, she is standing before a group of soldiers and she is preaching the gospel to those soldiers. So we honor Sharonda. And she's so cool. She synced up with the Chapel Hill Message Series. So I send her all my notes every week. Amen. So it's amazing. It's amazing. All right. So number two, it's the second thing that moms need. Moms need a life. If you sit next to a mom, say, "Mom, you need a life. You need a life." Listen, Mom, I know you want the best for your kids. You try so hard to do everything for them. But listen, you can't. It's just too much. You cannot do it all. And listen, you need to know, Mom, that you're more than an unpaid Uber driver. You need to know you're more than that. Listen, you are not an ATM for the kids. You are not. You are more than that. And listen, you are not the one who is in charge of making sure that everybody's dreams come true. It's too much. It's too much. Mom needs to have a life. Psalm 127 in verse 2 says this: "It's useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night." See, this is an example of someone whose life is out of balance. Sounds like motherhood, doesn't it? And then as you continue in that passage, it goes on. Let's read it again. It says, "It's useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him." See, this message is all about parenting. And the Lord is speaking to parents and he's saying, listen, you cannot work from morning to night. You've got to learn to rest. Children are a reward from the Lord, but you can't take responsibility for absolutely everything that pertains to them. Mom, you need to get a life. Tell her again. Mom, you need to get a life. See, Jesus says to us in John 10:10, he said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." In the King James Version, it says, "Have life abundantly," to have the abundant life. I mean, Mom, your lives, they're so rushed and hurried and busy. And sometimes a mom can be so busy, she didn't even have time to connect with Jesus. Didn't even have time to connect with Jesus, to absorb, to extract, to participate in the abundant life that the Lord has supernaturally designed for her. So we can help Mom out. Do you agree? We can help Mom out. All right, so let's make this thing real practical. We can help Mom out number one, kids, dads, other people, by taking responsibility for yourself. Come on, moms. I thought I would have got a little bit more applause from y'all on this. Listen, I mean, take responsibility for your stuff. Kids, pick up your stuff. Kids, clean your room. Kids, oh, and by the way, dad, pick up after yourself too. Take some of the responsibility off of mom. Listen, I know mothers, y'all like to do everything. You want to make sure everything is good. But listen, those kids can do more than you think. They can do more than you think. We had a wonderful experience yesterday with my twin six-year-old girls. Walked into their room and it looked like a bomb had gone off three times. And I'm just saying, this is enough, is enough. Listen, we are giving mom a clean house for Mother's Day. It's going to happen. We are giving mom a clean house. And so there they are. They're in the room and you know how they are. They have all kinds of excuses. I need to go tell mommy something. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Stay in this. You do not need to. No, I got a bump on my arm. No, you don't have a bump. There's going to be a bump somewhere else. But it's not your arm. And so we stayed with it. And I had to assist them a couple times. Just a little assistance, you know, to get the job done. But guess what? They got it clean. They got it clean. Now, it wasn't perfect like mom would do it, but hey, we can see the floor again. And so, kids, there are things that you can do to help mom. We have to take some of the responsibility off of mom. Amen? We just got to give her a break sometimes. Sometimes we got to figure out a way for her to get away, to do something different. Now, if you're a single mom, then you have a unique challenge because you're kind of in this on your own. You're kind of doing this on your own. So I want to encourage us as a church family, recognize the single moms amongst us. Develop relationships with some of the single moms. Help the single moms. I mean, listen, when you see her out there in the parking lot wrestling and wrangling with the kids, go give her a hand to get those rascals in here. Or maybe you're in a small group with a single mom and maybe she's cracking under the pressure. Don't let her crack. Say, no, 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 you're not going to crack. We got you. I want to encourage our church to be a church that looks around and sees the needs and are willing to minister. There's no reason that a single mom in a wonderful church like this should feel alone. Come on, somebody. I want to encourage you. There's a wonderful young lady at our Douglasville campus, Ruth, who shot a video for us about the need for a support system. Take a look.
My husband is a truck driver and works out of state. So he comes in for a couple of days and goes out for weeks. So it's extremely hard, but nothing, again, that I cannot handle because the man upstairs, he takes care of me. Not having a strong support system can be very, very, very challenging. I do have a sister that lives here, but she also has kids. So it's kind of hard throwing my kids over to her. I do have friends that are able to take, you know, my kids here and there, but to have an actual support system, a go-to, no matter what, I have not yet established that. But in due time, it takes time.
It takes time, and it takes us recognizing some of those needs. Amen. And stepping up and being willing to help. A church family can be a real support system. What do you do in a family? You look around. You see what the needs are. And you don't just pray about them. You pray and then you act. Amen. You know, I just have this thing. I was sharing something with Sherry and Mumford a few weeks ago. I said, I just have this thing for single moms. Like, man, I don't know what it's like to be one, but I know how hard it is with the two of us. It's two of us, and these kids drive us crazy sometimes. I can only imagine with single moms. And if there's any place that a single mom ought to feel welcomed and comforted and supported, it ought to be right here. It ought to be right here. Amen. All right, number three, moms need this. Moms need wisdom. I mean, with all of the negative influence in our culture, moms need godly wisdom. I mean, these kids, they don't come with training manuals. I really wish they did. Push this button, get this response. I really wish they did, but they don't. But moms need wisdom. We don't know how much screen time is healthy for them. We don't know. Do you let them play Fortnite, Apex Legends, Call of Duty, whatever else they're playing? Do we let them? How much do we let them play? Do we not let them play at all? We need wisdom. Moms need wisdom. And have you noticed that every child is different? Just when you thought you had it figured out with this one, here comes Junior, who is 100% different altogether. And then if you add a third one, it's like, what do we have going on here? And then if you're like us, you got five, we're living in the middle of a social science experiment. So moms need wisdom. How do you parent these different children? And then you need wisdom for the different ages and stages. Moms, you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, just when you had them all together and it was working out, and then they turned 13. And then you're like, wait, who is this person? Where did you come from? Do you really have my DNA? I'm not sure. Somebody knows, somebody's in the middle of it, or you walk through the fire. Whew. But we need wisdom. But here's the good news. The good news is that God provides that. James 1:5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Yes. Ask the Lord, moms. Ask him. He will give you wisdom. Now, sometimes it's slow in coming, but just trust. He will give you wisdom because he wants you to have it. In fact, pray for wisdom. And then number four, moms need validation. Moms need validation. Moms are undervalued. They need validation. See, there's a temptation, especially amongst single moms. Can I just talk to the single moms just for a minute? There's a temptation amongst the single moms because you need validation. And you know, kids don't typically give it. So there's a temptation to seek validation in places that are not necessarily healthy for you. You know, you met him at the grocery store. He noticed you because you were looking good. You came from work. You were still smelling good. He showed you some attention. He had all of the right words to say, but his intentions were not good. And oftentimes single moms get caught up in that trap of, I need validation. And somebody says something nice, and the next thing you know, they liked my post on Instagram. And next thing you know, they liked your post on Facebook. Next thing you know. And so I want to encourage you, single moms, be careful. Be careful. You know, one of the traps that single moms often run into is that, you know, you might come here and you see there's a lot of married people in this church. There's a lot of families. And as a single mom, you might begin to think, well, something must be wrong with me because I haven't found that yet. Or you may be thinking, God, I don't matter. I'm not important. You know, I really don't. I'm not as valuable in God's eyes as the married couple. Listen, God does not assign second-class citizenship to a single mom. It is not a second-class citizen status. You are just as valuable as the married person. In fact, the Apostle Paul was pleading with the single people in the first century church saying, hey, hey, if you cannot get married, don't get married. Because the Lord can use your life in ways that you couldn't even imagine. But now what happens in the church, and the church is guilty of this, we have done what I call, we deify marriage. We make marriage, oh, it's the pinnacle. It's the thing that you must have. It's the thing that you must pursue. Maybe not. Maybe not. Because here's what I'll tell you. Marriage is not an easier situation. See, oftentimes people make the mistake of thinking, oh, wow. I mean, you see the couples, they're holding hands. They're skipping into church and they have the kids behind them, trailing behind them. And this is like, oh, it's just so wonderful. Things are just great. I love that. Oh, I wish I could have that. I don't know. Sometimes you don't want that because you don't know what else is going on with that. You don't always know. Believe me, I've been a counselor in this church since 2003. Trust me, I know. And so my point is that I don't want the single moms to begin to think that somehow that situation is just so much better. Let me tell you the truth. See, with God, nobody gets off easy. Everyone has a struggle that they must face. There's one type of struggle that you face as a single person. But then you get married, and what you do is you exchange your struggle. No, it's just different, but it's still struggle. And now somebody else is involved in the struggle. And you've got to figure out, how do I navigate their struggle and my struggle? And, oh, by the way, then kids get involved. Then there's another struggle. So the reality is that the state that you find yourself in right now, just be thankful. And don't wait to serve God. You don't have to wait until you get married. No, we need you now. We need what you have right now. God has placed gifts and abilities in you right now. God has a calling on your life right now. He's not waiting for a man to validate you. He's saying, I have already validated you. You are my beloved. I love you. I am yours and you are mine. You are valuable. Amen. And I just want to encourage you, because sometimes, ladies, I mean, I've sat with so many in this situation, and then what happens is you look at it and you think, well, it's better to just be with somebody than to be alone. Let me say this to you. It is better to be alone in obedience than to be connected to somebody in disobedience. Because out of that disobedience, there's baggage that you have to carry and you have to deal with and that you have to manage. And so my plea to you is, let us help you. Come on, listen, everybody's struggling. Believe you me, everybody is struggling on some level. It might look different, but we all are in a battle. Am I right about it, Victor? We're all in a battle in some way. So let us link arms together and know that your church values you as a single mom. Now, let me say this to married moms, because this is really important too. Because see, married moms, oftentimes you too get caught up in what I call the comparisonitis. Because you come into church and you see this wonderful, loving couple and they're sitting there together and they're holding hands and man, they look like they're just so happy in public. And you're looking at your spouse going, oh, why don't you look at me like that? Why don't you hold my hand like that in church? Why don't you rub my leg like that? Why don't you put your arm around me in church like he has his arm around her? And we begin to think, well, maybe they have something that we don't have. The reality is you really have no idea what they have. You have no idea. Oh, they're kids. They're so well behaved in church. So you never really know what's going on. And my wife is so fond of saying this. She says, comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of joy. We cannot find contentment in what God has given us because we're so busy looking across the fence at what someone else is doing. Amen. I mean, look at what they're doing. Look, they're living their best life on Instagram. That's just a snapshot. That's one moment in time that is probably airbrushed. I mean, I put some pictures on Instagram. I doctored them things up. I make sure all of the moles and it's like, yeah, put it out there. But here's the reality. We cannot make those judgments based on shallow means. So I want to encourage you, married moms, be thankful for what God has given you. Even be thankful for the struggle. Oh, man. I'm on a whole different plane for this message in this 11:30, 11 o'clock. It'll be 11:30 in 2 weeks. So, but listen, here's something I want you to understand. See, we oftentimes underestimate the value of a struggle. We think I'm living my best life if I'm not struggling. That's not how it works. No, God is the one who uses struggle. I was listening to somebody this week and he said something that really struck my heart about Jesus and the cross. And Jesus conquers sin on the cross, but he didn't conquer sin in spite of the struggle. See, we think he pressed through and in spite of the struggle, he made it. No, God did it through the struggle. It was the struggle that God used that got him to the cross that brought the victory. Don't despise your struggle. You need wisdom. God, what is this struggle about? Most of our prayers are just take it away, just remove it. God's saying, wait, you want me to take away the thing that I'm going to use to draw you close to me? No, I'm using that. Let me use that to draw you closer to me, to make you more like me. And sometimes motherhood, that's exactly what he's doing. He is using the struggle of motherhood to make you more like him. He's saying, don't run from the struggle. Embrace me in the middle of the struggle, and I'll show you who I am and what I can do through the struggle. All right. What point am I on? Was that number four, validation? All right, because I've lost my notes. All right, number five. I'll be done in a minute. Moms need communication. Moms need communication. I heard one mom say, I really need communication, especially from my teenagers. Because, you know, I got a house with teenagers and they speak in grunt. How was your day? Good. How was school? Good. How are your grades? Good. Are you sure? Because... But I want to say this to the teenagers. It's really important. Mom wants to hear from you. Mom wants to know what's going on in your heart. Mom wants to be a part of this teenage journey. So I want to challenge you, teenagers, to open your mouths and to share more with mom. Because here's the reality. When you don't talk to her, the scenario she comes up with is usually far worse than it really is. And then dads... We got to talk to our wives. We got to talk to them. Now, see, I mean, this is really the pot calling the kettle black up here, because this is not one of those things that I'm that great at doing. You know, statistically, they say that men speak about 10,000 words a day, while women speak somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 25,000 words a day. So by the time I get home, like, my quota, it's like, what? What else is there something else that could be said in this day? I mean, I'm done, and she's just half, she's cranking into the back half. And I'm looking at her like, you really have that many words at 7:30 at night? Like, in the day over? It's over, right? Isn't it over? But dads, we have to grow in that area. We have to push ourselves. We got to be willing to open up and to talk. Why? Because moms need communication. They need that connection with us. But when we communicate, make sure you communicate with respect. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Number six, mom needs rest. Come on, somebody. Mom needs rest. See, moms struggle with the twin emotions of exhaustion and guilt. Exhaustion because they're already doing too much, and guilt because they still think, I'm not doing enough. But moms need rest. I mean, look at what Jesus says here. Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. See, mom needs time to get away, to spend time with Jesus. There's a soul rest that you have to have in order to be a parent. So what can we do? We got to look for opportunities to schedule some time away from mom. Listen, if you know a single mom, offer her respite, a vacation away from her kids. Maybe just for a few hours. Like, hey, girl, just drop the kids off and go have lunch with yourself. You know, I'm constantly trying to get my wife to take me up on this, but I'm trying to get her to go. Like, go somewhere by yourself. See, if you give me that offer, I didn't know Pastor Jamal was a track star. But I'm trying to help her understand, hey, don't worry about the exhaustion and the guilt. Listen, you tired. Just go somewhere by yourself. Dads, figure out a way to get mom to do something. Somebody asked me earlier today, today is Mother's Day. What are you doing for your wife? I said, nothing. What do you mean nothing? She asked me, can I do nothing today? I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to see anybody. I'm not even going to see my own mama. Can I just do nothing? I am granting her nothing today. Amen. Nothing. I mean, she can hardly wait. It's like, when is church over? Am I still here? Because it's important. We got to look for ways to give them an opportunity to rest. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't do a gift for her. Now, don't y'all be thinking I didn't do it. Believe you me, I got this. Number seven, as we close, mom needs faith. And see, worry is something that moms can be afflicted by so well, and worry can affect mom's ability to have faith and trust in God. Look at John 14, verse 1. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. Jesus is saying, trust me. Trust me. When it feels like there's nowhere else to turn, Jesus is saying, Mom, turn to me. Mom, look to me. Turn to my word. That's where you find faith. Psalm 62 in verse 8 says this, trust him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Mom, pour your heart out to him. Pour your heart out to him. He is a refuge. Refuge means he is a place of safety. Listen, when you're worried, you're just focusing on yourself and your own ability to care for anything. But here's the truth. This job of motherhood is bigger than you. It is bigger than you. It was never intended for you to go it alone and without his influence, without his instruction, without his presence, without his wisdom. It's too big for you. If you're feeling overwhelmed, then recognize this truth. There's still too much of you in the equation and not enough of him. Because he has come to give you rest, to give you peace. Now I want to close with a passage of scripture. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7. It reads, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, I took that passage and I took the liberty to make it a personal confession for you. So let's put the personal confession. And I want us, moms, I want you to read this out loud with me. You ready? One, two, read. I won't worry about anything. Instead, I will pray about everything. I will tell God what I need and thank him for all he has done for me. Then I will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything I can understand. His peace will guard my heart and mind as I live in Christ Jesus. Isn't that powerful? You might want to take a picture of that. Carry that with you. Focus on that over these next few days, over this week. I mean, that's a great confession for anybody, not just moms. And so, as we said, moms need faith. And so perhaps you may be a mom in the room today saying, that's me, I need faith. You might even admit, Pastor, I'm really outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ right now. I'm really going it on my own. But maybe today you realize today is a day of surrender for me. It's time for me to stop trying to do it in my own strength. Or perhaps you may be in this room and you may be saying, you know, I was connected with God at one time, but life happened. And I found myself disconnected. But today, you're saying, I want to return. Would you bow your heads with me? In a few moments, I want to have an opportunity to pray with you and for you. And if you're in this place today, whether you're a mom or dad or a teenager or anyone in between, and you're saying, I need a relationship with Jesus. You would admit, Pastor, I need to repent of my sin. I need to change. And I need Jesus to help me. Or you may be saying, I just need to repent and come back to him and let him help me again. If that's you, if you fit into either of those categories, I want to pray with you. I just want you to let me know who I'm praying for. On the count of three, I want you to slip up your hand so I can pray with you. One, two, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Three, hands are going up. Yes. Yes. It's not too late. You can still slip your hand up. Several hands are up already. Yes. Now, I just want you to pray with me. In fact, I'm going to invite everyone to join in this prayer as we pray with those who lifted their hands. Just say, Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and that I need your forgiveness. And I believe that when you died on the cross, you paid for my sin and you forgave me of my sin. And Lord, I believe that on the third day that you rose from the grave. And because you have eternal life, I too have eternal life. And from today, I'll call you my Lord and I'll call you my Savior. And from today, I'll follow you with all of my heart, mind, and strength as you give me grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God praise.